This is Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Over the next few minutes, we're going to visit four of the states that will decide the presidential election. Bear in mind that election is determined state by state. And as many people remember from the year 2000, it's even possible to lose the nationwide vote and still win the election. No matter who wins tomorrow, the number of red and blue states on that electoral map will help determine the momentum that the winner takes to the White House. And the states we're visiting now are the states that are commonly colored yellow or gray, which means they're too close to call. We start with NPR's David Shaper in Indiana.
Indiana traditionally is considered the reddest of the Midwest states, favoring Republicans in 24 of the last 28 presidential elections. Since 1940, a Democrat has carried Indiana only once. That was back in 1964. 4 years ago, President Bush won a whopping 60% of the Indiana vote.
I cannot recall an election cycle where this state has been up for grabs and in the general election and therefore being paid attention to.
Marie Eisenstein is a political scientist at Indiana University Northwest in Gary. She says the senator from neighboring Illinois has a chance to become the first Democrat in 44 years to win here.
This would be a huge coup for the Democrats to be able to turn Indiana from a red state to a blue state.
If Barack Obama wins Indiana, it will be due at least in part to huge turnout in the one reliably Democratic county in the state, Lake County, which borders Chicago, and where voters like Joanne Borrow of Gary have been waiting 2 to 3 hours in line to vote early and make history.
I'm ready for the Republicans to get out of the office. I'm ready to vote. I can't wait to vote. I stand in the line. It was a long way on the other side of town. I'll be in line.
With the second largest population in the state, a huge turnout in Lake County for Obama could offset lopsided margins for John McCain in rural counties in central and southern Indiana. But Republicans are far from throwing in the towel.
The election's not happened yet.
Russ Volk, manager of the aptly named Conservative Cafe in Crown Point, where coffee is served right, says the seasoned Indiana GOP is mobilizing.
I think the rest of the state, we actually are going to make more difference this time than ever before. You know, I think so. You know, mid-state, southern Indiana, I still think they're traditionalists.
Another factor to consider is that Hoosiers have a tradition of splitting tickets, voting for Democrats for offices like governor, Senate, and Congress, while voting for Republicans for president. That could work in the reverse this year, as Republican Governor Mitch Daniels is expected to win re-election Tuesday. Some homes with Daniels yard signs have signs supporting Obama next to them. David Shaper, NPR News.
And I'm Ina Jaffe in Las Vegas, where the 60,000 members of the Culinary Workers Union are a force to be reckoned with at election time. 74-year-old Clester Nelson is one of the union's hundreds of canvassers. As he was setting out from the union hall yesterday, he said that electing Barack Obama would be the fulfillment of a family prophecy.
My grandfather, he was a slave. And when I was about 8 years old, he said, son, maybe by the time you get to be an adult, they have a black president.
There are now more Democrats for Nelson to contact than there were just a year ago. Democrats have overtaken Republicans in voter registration by a margin of more than 100,000. Meanwhile, the state's been hit hard by the economic crisis. The unemployment rate here is above the national average, and the state has the highest foreclosure rate in the country. Clester Nelson says that's on the mind of everyone he meets.
You bump into people that will tell you, say, I've got to move, and I really don't know where I'm going to move because I don't have any money. I lost my job.
Las Vegas has always provided the motherload of Democratic votes in Nevada. Republicans hold sway in the state's rural counties. But John McCain has his backers in the Las Vegas area, too. Some of his evangelical supporters spent Sunday afternoon gathered in a hotel ballroom south of the Strip to hear speakers including Pastor John Knapp.
Do every single thing that you can to make sure that the biblical values that this nation were founded on are pushed forwards in this next election.
What Craig and Cheryl Smith have been doing for John McCain is praying.
Lord, please have mercy on us as a nation, and please have Mr. McCain be president.
Our pastor likes to say that prayer is the work. Yes. You can go out and do all these hands-on things, but prayer is what is the real work.
But leaving nothing to chance, or heaven, John McCain and Sarah Palin will each hold rallies in Nevada later today. Ina Jaffe, NPR News, Las Vegas.
This is Adam Hochberg. North Carolina has been a red state in each of the last 7 presidential elections. If that changes this year, newcomers like Melissa Coleman will be part of the reason.
Who's mommy going to vote for in the election?
Obama.
Yeah, who are we not going to vote for?
McCain.
Yeah.
Coleman, with her husband and kids, moved from Massachusetts to North Carolina earlier this year, settling in a recently built subdivision in the sprawling suburbs of Raleigh, the nation's 3rd fastest growing metropolitan area. She says most of her neighbors are equally new to the state, and they've brought some new political attitudes with them, too.
The politics of North Carolina are changing dramatically. I mean, people are flocking in here from, you know, New England and pretty much Pennsylvania and up. So we're actually considered a swing state. It was a big surprise for me, for sure.
The county that includes Raleigh and its suburbs went for President Bush in the 2004 election. But polls suggest Barack Obama has a double-digit lead in the county now. To overcome Obama's strength in fast-growing urban areas, John McCain has to do well in rural communities and more established parts of North Carolina. And he has to motivate members of the Republican base, such as 75-year-old Corinne Watkins, who cast an early ballot for McCain last week.
I'm a Southern Baptist, so I am conservative. In fact, we pray every night at 9 for the nation and that McCain is elected.
Statewide polls show the North Carolina race too close to call. So the number of newcomers who vote versus the number of longtime residents may determine whether Watkins' prayers are answered. Adam Hochberg, NPR News, Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
I'm Greg Allen in Miami. The math here in Florida is simple. Democrats usually carry South Florida. Republicans dominate the North. The central part of the state, what's called the I-4 corridor, is the battleground where elections are decided. Democrats have registered twice as many new voters this year as Republicans and hold a 650,000 voter edge statewide. The question is, how many of these new voters will turn out tomorrow? It's a close race in Florida, but Diane Hansborough, who supports John McCain, says she's not worried about the polls.
No, you have to keep fighting and you have to go out, you have to knock on doors, you have to get people as much as you can to understand how bad it would be if we get Obama, and I firmly believe that.
In Florida, 1 out of every 4 voters is over 65. McCain has enjoyed some of his strongest support among senior citizens, but recent polls suggest it's eroding. Among the factors cited, the worsening economy and his selection of Sarah Palin as his running mate. Helen Rutledge is a retiree who lives in Boca Raton.
Sometimes I look at McCain and I like him, but I worry because his health is not the best and his age isn't. And I don't think an inexperienced little girl from Alaska should step into the presidency.
Since it's Florida, all eyes will be watching for voting snags tomorrow. Expect plenty of lawyers at the polls. Greg Allen, NPR News, Miami.
Hey, we're going to be asking for your help on Election Day. When you vote, let us know if you encounter problems, like broken machines or long waits. You can contact us by text message, voicemail, via Twitter, or even by iPhone. And you can learn more by going to npr.org/vote report.
And you can read predictions for every state's presidential, Senate, House, and gubernatorial elections in the Political Junkie column from NPR's political editor, Ken Rudin. His column will be up later this morning at npr.org/politicaljunkie. And on election night, you can quiz Ken and post your own comments at npr.org.